Welcome to the Stan State Educast. My name is Frankie Tovar, and I'm your host for this episode, the very first in what we at the Communications and Public Affairs Department hope is a series of engaging and informative discussions. The Stan State Educast will shine a spotlight on various members of the Warrior community as they share their experience and expertise in relation to important issues and topics that affect us all. So with that in mind, we've invited an economics expert onto the Educast to discuss an issue that directly affects not just those of us on campus, but nearly every Californian, the current record high gas prices. This week's guest, Dr. Gertje Soetemeer, Foster Farms Endowed Professor of Business Economics.
You're listening to the Stan State Educast, produced on the campus of Stanislaus State.
Dr. Soetemeer, welcome to the Educast.
Well, glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We're going to talk about gas prices, but first, I'd like to focus on you just a little bit. You've been a professor here at Stan State since 2011, and it says here in your bio, you're the inaugural Foster Farms Endowed Professor here at Stan State. So why don't you just let us know what that means and how you found yourself here on campus?
The main reason I was hired here is to do the business forecast for the San Joaquin Valley. And as most of you know, San Joaquin Valley is formerly comprised of 8 counties. And the way I count them is 2 Ks, 2 Ms, 2 Ss, 1 T, and 1 F. 2 Ks being Kings and Kern, Ss being San Joaquin and Stanislaus, Ms being Merced and Madera, T being Tulare, and F being Fresno. We generate these forecasts twice a year, put out a report. One is the original report that comes out right around November or so. And the second is the update report, which is right about this time, I mean, April 14th. We're working on it, and we're about to put it out anytime. We've appeared in the popular media right around about 200 times. We've gotten grants close to $150,000, one of them being from San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. And so it's been an interesting ride since 2011. And I'm happy to be here and contribute to the development of the regional economy.
And in addition to publishing the San Joaquin Valley Business Forecast, you also teach 7 courses here on campus. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
You're a very busy man, so we really appreciate you making time in your busy schedule for this EduCast.
Thank you.
Now, the topic, gas prices, it's a hot topic right now. Nearly everybody drives, so it affects a lot of people, friends, family, colleagues. They're all talking about it. They have different reasonings for why gas prices are so high. Some blame politicians, others blame the pandemic, or even the war that's being waged between Russia and Ukraine. You're the economics expert, though, so you're the person to ask, why are gas prices so high right now?
Well, the biggest reason that we're facing right now is the Russia-Ukraine conflict. I mean, according to our projections, the gas prices should have been decreasing by now. But because of the war and the sanctions on Russia, that came as a surprise, obviously, the oil prices went up further. But before that, obviously, we were reeling from the pandemic. You know, it's like pulling a rubber band, pulling it, and then letting it go, and it'll go really fast, right, to catch its momentum. So that's what we're seeing, right, towards the end of the pandemic. The economy is beginning to reel. There was excess demand, inventory shortages, transportation issues, how to deliver that gas to all of a sudden trying to recover and utilize transportation. So there were some supply-related constraints. All of those contributed to the price of oil being where it's at right now.
So California traditionally has higher gas prices than the rest of the country. Everywhere else in the country, they were experiencing high gas prices, but it seems like that's tapered off for everyone except California. The prices continue to rise. So what can Californians expect in the next 2, 3, 6 months, maybe even the next year? Will the gas prices continue to rise?
Okay, first of all, although, you know, Ukraine and Russia is all the way in the other half of the world, the price of oil is determined internationally by the forces of demand and supply. So there's nothing we can do about it. So, you know, it's a oligopoly type of market, but at the retail level, it's more competitive. And as we talk about it in our report, the inflation rate on the West Coast runs a bit higher, as you said, than nationwide. And given that, it's not surprising to see a commodity price like price of gas to be higher here. On top of that, demand for gas is higher because people drive more here, and that's definitely having an impact on demand side.
Is there any blame to be spread in terms of consumer behavior? I read an article, and they were putting the theory out there that since Californians are willing to pay a higher price for gas, maybe even premium gas, that the market will kind of stay at this price level. Is there any merit to consumer behavior being partially at fault?
I don't think so, because demand for gas is inelastic. I mean, regardless of, you know, it goes up or not, you're going to buy it to go from point A to point B. I mean, public transportation is not that, you know, widespread. Given that it's an inelastic commodity, I don't think there's so much strong argument behind that. Everyone that's driving a car probably realizes that nobody wants to pay this price, but you end up paying for it because you have no other choice. I mean, you have to get from, you know, you go to go do your grocery shopping, you have to go to work. So you have to have, gas in your car to be able to drive.
How does a high gas price or a record high gas price affect the rest of the economy? Is there a ripple effect?
Indeed. I mean, there's no question about it. There is a big ripple effect. We call it multiplier effect or amplification effect because it's a major input used in the production of that good, in the delivery of that good. Transportation of that good. So when the price of gas increases, it affects pretty much everything from groceries you buy to utilities you pay. So that ripple effect is unfortunately is very big in this case that when we talk about gas.
And what areas of the economy are hit hardest when gas prices are so high?
Well, anywhere that transportation is required for goods or services to be delivered, the gas prices are going to have a big impact. And that being the retail, you know, groceries, you're going to see a big impact. Anywhere in the travel industry, indeed, you know, there's going to be a huge impact there because, you have to have, gas or diesel for travel. And then other areas, for example, leisure and hospitality services are going to be affected most, yeah, indeed.
So we're paying more for gas, which in turn forces us to pay more for groceries or leisure activities. In addition to that, housing prices are through the roof, the same for vehicles and certain computer components. With all this combined, are we on the verge of a recession?
Well, there's a different reason why housing prices are increasing in double digits right now. As we all know, there's an inventory shortage. Houses are not being built fast enough to meet the increased demand. And as you know, in our area now, there's demand more than ever because those residents living in the coastal regions want to come here and prefer more quiet environments and isolated environments. Well, but on top of that, inflation. Houses are physical assets, and whenever there's inflation, demand for physical assets increase. Well, we're seeing that right now, and obviously interest rates had been very low for a long period of time, which fueled the demand for housing here in this area. So there's a different reason besides gas prices why housing values are so high here, housing prices. Having said that, is there a chance of recession? Well, we are actually seeing a 30% chance of recession right now because of the 6 rate hikes that the Federal Reserve just announced. I mean, they have announced that they were going to go about increasing, and expectations they're going to go about doing about 6 rate hikes this year. So that boils down to a little above 3% And that might be actually too fast and too high. And some circles, and I tend to agree, are worrying that that may bring the economy into a hard landing rather than a soft landing and bring the economy into a recession. Just yesterday, we saw one of the closely watched indicators of the yield curve, 2 year versus 10 year. We saw that inverting, meaning the short-term interest rate is higher than the long-term interest rate of 10 years. And usually that's not supposed to be the case because of the time value of money. If the yield on the 10 rate should be higher than the yield on the 2 year, that wasn't the case. Yesterday, it inverted, meaning the 2 year was more than the 10 year. And before that, other indicators like 4 year versus 10 year had been inverting occasionally. So if we see, but the most watched indicator is 2 year versus the 10 year. And if you see that inverting like this, that's a worry because that's the most reliable indicator of a recession. Every time the yield curve inverted like that, we had a recession after about 16 months. There were very few exceptions, but nevertheless, it's an accurate indicator. Now, so I would watch that yield curve very carefully to see if it inverts like that a couple of times. And that would be, that would say to us is get ready for an oncoming, recession.
Yeah, it sounds like people potentially have greater worries ahead of them than just high gas prices.
Well, again, we're playing the odds. There's 30%. You know, we don't know yet. And, you know, we're kind of in uncharted waters, right? I mean, we're navigating in uncharted waters because we're reeling off a pandemic. All of a sudden, we see this war, and then the interest rates are aligned to increase. So if we, you know, odds are there, it's not a, you know, certain outcome. But if you want to take positions against it, as we recommended in our report last November, which was before the war, but it didn't make any difference. Even if you had the war, you would probably take the same steps. And that being, you know, if you've, interest rates are still low. This is the first rate hike, right? So interest rates are still low. It would be good to switch from flexible to fixed rates while interest rates are still low. Take advantage of those 0% interest rates. Some actually go long as until 2024. You know, lower your leverage, meaning decrease your debt exposure, increase your cash holdings, and if you own a house, refinance right now. Even though interest rates have started going up a little bit, it's still good to refinance at this point to fix a lower rate. So those would be my recommendations at the moment.
Now, going back to gas prices, you mentioned the war between Russia and Ukraine. It's out of our control. There's nothing we can do about that. So is there anything that can be done to lower the gas prices, whether it be from the consumer side or from politicians or from anybody, really? Or are we just at the mercy of a foreign government's activity?
Well, I mean, one obvious switch would be to switch from internal combustible engines to electrical vehicles, because sooner or later, all Californians are going to have to do that. And I think in about 10 years, everyone has to switch. But it pays for itself. I mean, I own an EV, and if I didn't, my gas expense would be like close to $400-$500 because I drive a lot. That's about equal to what I pay, you know, it's actually more. And I mean, when you think about it, for my monthly payment for an EV, I mean, if you buy a basic one, so it pays for it. And then obviously subsidies would help a lot. You know, Governor Newsom's new initiative of $800 subsidy would definitely help consumers, their pockets. There are certain things you can do. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are fan of public transportation, but if you're, you know, capable of, walking and et cetera, I would take advantage of, I would drive once in a while and take public transportation because, it's very high right now, price of oil. We saw, like, in places like Gorda in California, in Beverly Hills, prices go above $7 per gallon.
So you just referenced the subsidies. Gavin Newsom proposed $400 per registered vehicle owner, with the limit being at 800. Yeah. Do you see that as a potentially long-term solution?
Well, it's going to depend. We'll see. I mean, I guess they're going to see how it goes, and if it's a good idea, if it's a feasible thing to do, they might extend it to long-term. But right now, I think it's a very good decision to come up with that subsidy.
You also mentioned electric vehicles. Myself, I've been considering it since these gas prices have been soaring. Haven't pulled the trigger quite yet, but it's in the back of my mind. How effective do you think these gas prices will be in switching consumers from gas to electric? Do you see a big switch in that part of the economic sector?
I think I see it. I mean, I have people asking me, what should we do? And I say, well, sell your car, but buy a EV, I mean. And they're doing it, and people are switching, yes. I mean, they're tired of paying this. People who commute every day, it's like a prohibitive tax now. So they are switching, yeah. I mean, a lot of people are doing that.
So it seems like we're at a genesis of a transformation, so to speak. 5-10 years from now, this trend continues and more individuals are purchasing EV vehicles or exploring options that can limit their gas consumption. How is that going to transform the economy as a whole? What can we expect in the future?
Well, California has a lot of smog. So it's going to, and San Joaquin Valley, right, put very polluted. Air quality is low. It's going to help improve air quality. I mean, environmentally, we're going to see a big impact. And that's going to have consequences on our health. The number of terminally ill people will go down quite a bit, because air quality is one determinant of those illnesses. So on the environmental side, we're going to see a big impact. It's going to lower our dependence to oil, which is big economic. It's just going to have a big economic impact here, at least in California. I think overall, it's going to have an impact where we're going to see ourselves in an environment where quality of life will increase overall.
So do you see this as a necessary burden to maybe force our evolution in terms of the economy and maybe going greener?
I mean, it's choices, right? I mean, we're facing these choices, and it's about making those choices that make us better off in the future, as well off as possible, given the constraints. As an EV user, I've experienced firsthand the benefits. There will be other futures like autopilot, and that's going to have productivity improvements at work, because when you commute, the most productive hour goes to driving. But if you have an autopilot and you commute like that, you'll see that you'll feel less tired, less and less tired, and more productive towards your work. There are things like that. There's secondary effects. Even though there's a lot of scrutiny concerning, autopilot features, but it's going to be there. I mean, there's no question. And that's going to affect us to become more productive, lose less time driving.
So we focused a lot on the consumer, the individual. How does all this affect industry?
Well, I mean, that's how it occurs, right? I mean, from a representative agent in the economy experiencing these things. And then at the aggregate level, that has an impact on the industry. And that's why, recession worries have gone up quite a bit at the industry level. I mean, are you talking about inflation, or are you talking about EVs or price of gas? I mean, if you're talking about, inflation, gas prices, rate hikes, those are going to cool off definitely the overall economic activity and bring inflation down, because it looks like the Federal Reserve's main worry is to bring inflation down regardless. They're saying soft landing, but I think I don't know. I mean, the priority is inflation right now, and they're going to do whatever it takes to bring it down. So we'll see the impact on industries. Hopefully everyone would hope that it would be a soft landing. But given what's happened, I mean, in addition to rate hikes, because that's going to cool off the economy, you have the Ukraine-Russia conflict that's going to have another negative impact. And then wage inflation. I mean, wages have been going up a lot, I mean, more than the inflation rate. The wages are labor cost, right? So that's increased cost of labor quite a bit and created cost push inflation. So we see all these pressures, I mean, on the price side, you know, coming from cost push, price of gas, wages going up more, right, a lot more than inflation, even though inflation is right now very high. Because people, companies and restaurants, whatnot, couldn't find people to work because of the pandemic. Even right at this moment, we're seeing those signs everywhere saying not now hiring, right? So the labor market is very active. It's very tight. So that's increasing wages up, and that's increasing the cost of production. So you see that cost push side. And then on the demand side, really from the pandemic, demand is very high. You see that another impact coming from higher demand on prices. And as a result, we're where we are at right now. Inflation is high, and we expect our projections before the war were pointing to late spring. So there are some advances in terms of negotiations. So we're expecting price of oil to start going down, and we see some of it right now happening late summer.
And how low can we expect these prices to drop when they eventually drop? On my way here to campus, I saw prices at $5.59 a gallon for unleaded, and I know there are certainly gas stations with higher prices. Can we expect to see prices return to quote-unquote normal?
No, there's no question about it. It's going to go back to normal. So, as I said earlier, our projections are pointing to late summer. And in the long run, I mean, dependence on oil is decreasing, right? So sooner or later, we're going to see a lot less dependence on oil. And that's going to have an additional impact in terms of where the price of oil it'll be in the future. Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to late summer. I am really getting tired of shelling out so much money at the gas pump. I'd like to thank you for coming onto the EduCast. I certainly got a lot more information from this discussion than the discussions I have with my friends around a barbecue or a dinner table. So thank you for sharing your expertise. Is there anything that you would like to put out there or cover that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know?
Well, let's see. I mean, we did cover gas prices. We did cover housing and inflation, rate hikes. So I think that overall we've covered pretty much everything that there's to discuss.
And if people have further questions beyond this podcast, where would you direct them to get information or even to reach out to you?
Well, I mean, our report is on our university website, and my contact information is there. And the website is the university website, which is www.csustan.edu, and then / then the first initials of the San Joaquin Valley Business Forecast Report. So that would be / SJVBFR. So if you enter that, you should be able to directly reach all the current and past reports. You can directly email me at G, and then my last name, SOYDEMIR, csustan.edu.
And if you're a student on campus, consider taking one of his courses. And with that, we've come to the end of the very first episode of the Stan State EduCast. If you enjoyed this discussion, be sure to follow us and set your alerts on your favorite podcasting platforms so that you will be notified when future episodes are released. Once again, I'm your host, Frankie Tovar, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Stan State EduCast.